my decision only reinforced when Kate shoves her nose in and then snaps the bag shut with wide blue eyes. Sam tries to snatch it from her, but she bats him away, and he grumbles, grabbing the men's black equivalent that's positioned at his place setting. He does the same little rendition as Kate, but instead of a wide-eyed, stunned look, he looks at Kate and grins from ear to ear, prompting her to make a grab for his bag. He pushes her away. A starter of scallops is served, and I'm momentarily distracted from my speculating by the divine dish. The manor really does do food very well.
"So, Ava, I'm told you carried out the works at Luso," Niles says across the table. "Quite a feat." He smiles, raising his glass to me.
"It didn't hurt the portfolio," I reply casually.
"You're modest," he laughs.
"She's good," Kate pipes up. "She's working on the extension upstairs." Kate points her fork toward the ceiling of the summer room in the most unladylike manner.
"I see. Is that how you met Jessie?"
Niles asks, a little surprised.
"It is," I confirm politely, but elaborate no further. I'm not comfortable talking about me and Jessie, especially with a stone-faced Sarah within touching distance. And Niles's question has just reminded me that Jessie still isn't here.
"What do you do?" I ask to steer the conversation away from Jessie and my curious mind. He puts his fork down and wipes his mouth with his napkin.
"I supply Jessie's stock," he says on a small smile.
I manage to stop myself from asking the most stupid question I ever could. He doesn't supply food or drink to the manor. No, Niles supplies other essentials. Essentials for the top floors of the manor. I nod my acknowledgement, not wanting to push that line of chat any further. Sarah jumps into the gap of conversation, asking Niles how his recent trip to Amsterdam went. I'm thankful, even though I quickly turn my attention away from where that discussion is heading too. I look over at Kate, who tosses me a filthy look, and then nods toward Sarah while cupping her breasts on a grin. I try not to smile, but I can't help the corners of my mouth tweaking at her brashness. She is so unaffected by everything. I love her. I finish my most marvelous and accept the glass of white wine the waiter offers, taking an immediate sip and laughing when Drew stabs at his last scallop with his fork and it flies into the middle of the table. He gets rather mad with the slippery culprit as he tries to retrieve it, grumbling sulkily as he stabs at it, eventually giving up and grabbing it with his hand. He throws it on his plate in a mood, then glances up at the rest of the table, who, at the exception of Sarah, are all delighting in his little performance. He relents and stands to bow, restoring his refined character. His fun, light-hearted performance is a mile away from the standoffish Drew I know. Starters are swiftly removed from the table and replaced with salmon and an array of colourful vegetables. I'm thankful dinner is relatively light. I couldn't stomach much more with Sarah next to me. She hasn't said one word to me during dinner, and has not inquired as to Jessie's whereabouts, so I assume that she knows. She advises the waiter to remove Jessie's untouched starter and hold off on his main for the meantime. If Kate weren't here, I would be getting really cranky now.
"You didn't bring Victoria?"
Kate tosses the question at Drew, and he catches it without an ounce of shock or surprise.
"No, she's sweet but hard work."
He takes a swig of wine and sits back in his chair.
"I'm happy exactly where I am at the moment."
He raises his glass, and everyone joins him, including me, even though I'm not particularly happy about where I am right now.
"Anyway, she wouldn't let me lay a hand on her without the lights off."
I nearly spit my wine all over the table, then proceed to laugh really hard. Kate throws a napkin over the table at me, and I grab it, mopping up the wine dripping down my chin, still laughing. Drew looks at me and Kate in turn,
a smirk breaking the corners of his serious face.
You kind of need to see what you're doing for what I had in mind.
Stop! I howl, trying desperately to rein in my chuckles. I glance across at Sarah, and I'm met with a filthy glare. I resist the killing temptation to smash her face into her salmon. I sit bolt upright, as does Sarah, when I spot Jessie and the mystery woman emerging from the corridor that leads down to his office. John must catch our sharp reaction because he jumps up from the table and makes his way over. They have an exchange of quiet words before John takes over responsibility of the woman and leads her out of the summer room. Jessie looks across the room until he finds my eyes and then starts making his way over. He stopped a dozen times by various men and women as he passes tables, but he doesn't hang about for conversation. He just shakes hands with the men and leans down to kiss the women, smiling politely before searching me out again. He eventually makes it to me and sits himself down, grabbing my knee under the table. Sam cheers his arrival and pours some water into Jessie's wine glass. Kate frowns at me, and Sarah drops all conversation with Niles in favor of Jessie. He turns into me and gives me very sorry eyes.
Forgive me.
Who was that? I ask quietly.
No one for you to be concerned about.
He nods at my half-empty plate.
How is the food?
No one for me to be concerned about. Well, that just makes me all the more concerned. It's good. You should eat, I say shortly, looking for a waiter, but I'm a bit slow on the uptake. It seems Sarah has taken care of that already. His salmon lands in front of him, and he tucks in, keeping his palm firmly on my knee, chopping and forking with one hand. When John returns and does his signature nod at Jessie, I throw him a curious stare, which Jessie catches and tramples all over by leaning in and lavishing me with his lips. I only half-heartedly return his kiss, fully aware that he's trying to distract me again. He pulls back, giving me an inquiring eye.
Are you holding back on me?
Are you? I toss back.
Hey,
he grates quite loudly, considering the close proximity of our company.
Who do you think you're talking to?
He asks on a scowl, his grip on my knee tightening. I shake my head. Let's see what your reaction would be if a mystery man pulled me away from you for over an hour. I look him straight in the eye, noticing Sarah's sly smile behind him. She can fuck off. I'm in no mood for her. His eyes soften, his tense jaw easing up a bit as he releases his grip of my knee and strokes up to the juncture of my thighs. I tense. I know what he's doing.
Ava, please don't say things that will make me crazy mad.
His voice has softened, but I can still detect the slight anger in his tone.
I've told you not to worry, so you shouldn't. End of.
I turn back toward the table, ignoring his hot touch through my dress. I'm simmering on the inside with possessiveness. I'm getting as bad as him, and this conversation is going to get us nowhere. Not here, and now, anyway. Chapter 21. When dessert and coffee have been served, and my cheeks hurt from Kate and Sam's antics at the table, John stands and announces, in his usual booming voice, that everyone should clear the room so it can be readied for the rest of the evening. Jessie stands and helps me up from my chair, making a meal of showering me with attention, which I petulantly brush off. I'm stopped from walking away from the table when he grabs my elbow and whirls me around so we're front on front. He burns a hole into me with pools of green displeasure.
Are you going to behave like a spoilt brat for the rest of the evening? Or have I got to take you upstairs and fuck some sense into you?
I recoil at his animosity as he looks past me and smiles, obviously acknowledging someone who is behind me. He returns his eyes to mine, his smile disappearing instantly. Reaching around me, he places a firm palm on my bum, pushing me into his groin and circling those damn hips hard and slow. I curse my treacherous body for tensing, and my hands for instinctively flying up to grab his shoulders. He leans into my ear. "Do you feel that?" He grinds hard again. I lose the battle to restrain my moan of pleasure. I do not want to be getting horny here, because there is not a chance in hell I'm going to let him take me while we're in this place. Not ever. "Answer the question, Ava." He clamps onto my earlobe and drags it through his teeth. My grip of his shoulders tightens. "I feel it." My voice is broken and low. "Good. It's yours. All of it." He pushes harder further into me. "So stop with the fucking sulks. Do you understand me?" "Yes," I exhale into his shoulder. He releases me and stands back, raising expectant eyebrows at me, and I nod, trying to gather myself together. Will he always have this influence on me? I'm trembling and seriously rethinking my vow to avoid sex at the manor. I could quite easily drag him upstairs to one of the private suites and let him eat me alive. I glance past him and catch the viper glare of Sarah, and in a pathetic stamp of ownership, I put myself into Jesse's chest again and look up at him with sorry eyes. He gives an approving nod of his head and leans down to rest his lips on mine. "That's better," he says into my mouth. He turns me around and starts guiding me out of the summer room. "I'm struggling to deal with all of the admiring stares you're attracting," he says, placing his hand firmly at my lower back. I scoff. "You're attracting quite a bit of attention yourself," I muse, just as we pass an attractive brunette. She smiles brightly at Jesse and strokes his arm.
"Jesse, you're looking as delicious as ever."
I can't help the small, shocked burst of laughter that flies from my mouth. She's got some front, and I'm hugely offended that she clearly thinks I'll just take her brazen flirting without so much as a word. I'm about to stop and put her in her place, but Jesse pushes me on, preventing me from following through on my intent to confront the shameless hussy.
"Natasha, you are an intolerable flirt as ever," Jesse retorts wryly, draping his arm over my shoulder and landing me with a chaste kiss, obviously sensing my irritation.
She smiles slyly and narrows easy eyes on me.
"Has he slept with her too?"
I feel my newfound possessiveness simmering steadily inside me. I can't imagine that I'm going to be spending much time here if this is the response I'll receive whenever I do. Not that I particularly want to be here, but with it being Jesse's place of work, it would be handy if I could come here and feel comfortable, rather than feeling like I'm stepping on a million attractive women's toes. And that's another point. Does Jesse only offer membership to women of an 8 or above on the good looks scale? Retirement is looking more likely by the day. I want to stay stuck to Jesse so I can fight off all these women. As we walk into the bar, we find that the stool I always seem to get positioned on is taken by a man. He soon makes way when he sees us approaching, raising his glass in greeting. I'm lifted onto the stool, and Mario appears without delay, leaving the members of the manor to be served by one of the other bar staff.
"What would you like to drink?"
Jesse perches on his stool opposite me and takes my hand in his.
"Most marvelous."
He raises his eyebrows. I turn to a waiting Mario.
"Please, Mario," I say, and he smiles his usual fond smile, but looks a little more flustered than he did earlier.
I'm not surprised. He's being run off his feet.
I'll have one of those.
Kate joins us and leans on Jessie's shoulder with a huff.
These shoes are killing me, she exclaims, with a look of true pain on her pale face. Seriously, a man categorically devised the high heel, and he did it in an attempt to make it easier for you dudes to rugby tackle us women folk to the ground and haul us back to your beds.
Jessie throws his head back and laughs a proper belly laugh as Sam and Drew find us.
What's the score?
Sam asks as he eyes Jessie laughing hard. He looks at me and Kate, and we both shrug on wide smirks. Kate slaps Jessie's shoulder affectionately. I can't help but share in Jessie's amusement at Kate's dry comment. When he laughs like that, faint lines spring from his twinkling greens and fan his temples. He looks so handsome.
I'm sorry. Drinks?
He asks, getting his laughter under control and giving me a wink. I pool on the stool, sending him a telepathic message to take me home immediately. Basking in the sun on Central Jessie Cloud 9 has resumed. Drew and Sam throw their orders at Mario, but he's already halfway to the fridge to collect their beers. I scoop up our cocktails and pass one to Kate, catching her nodding over my shoulder. I frown at her, so she repeats the jig of her head, and I realize what she's signaling. I lean into Jessie, and he drops his conversation with the boys, instantly turning his face to me.
What's up, baby?
He looks worried. Nothing. I'm just going to use the ladies. I lower myself from the stool and grab my clutch from the bar. I won't be long.
Okay. He kisses my hand.
I walk away and join Kate.
I need a fag, she spits urgently.
Really? I thought you wanted to drag me upstairs. I flip as she leads me out. I'm going to the toilet quickly. I'll meet you outside.
The front,
she calls, making her way to the entrance hall, while I head in the other direction toward the toilets. I find the ladies empty and let myself into a cubicle before quickly negotiating the dress up to my waist. I'm not alone for long. I hear the door open and a few voices chatting happily.
Have you seen her? She is young for our Jessie.
I freeze mid-wee and hold my breath.
Our Jessie?
What?
Did they share him?
I collapse on the toilet and release my bladder. I've started now. I can't stop.
He's all over her. Fucking hell, did you see the diamond around her neck?
Voice number two gushes.
You can hardly miss it. It's obvious what she's after.
Voice number three pipes up. How many of them are there out there? I finish up and start pulling my dress back down while contemplating what I should do. What I want to do is go out there and put them straight on the whole money business.
Oh, come on, Natasha. Jessie's beyond a fucking god. The money's just a bonus.
That's voice number two. And now I know that voice number three is Natasha, the incorrigible flirt. And he's my fucking god.
Well, looks like we've made all this effort for nothing. I had heard, but I didn't believe, not until I saw it with my own eyes. It looks like our Jessie has been whipped from under our feet.
Voice number one laughs. I stand in the cubicle willing them to leave so I can escape. But I can hear the pops of lips from the reapplication of lipstick and the spray of perfume going on.
It's a shame. He's the best I've had, and I'm never going to get to try it again.
Voice number three, a.k.a. Natasha, muses.
My hackles rise.
He has slept with her. I look up at the ceiling, trying desperately to gather some calming thoughts, but it's impossible. Especially with three tarts out there having a good old chinwag about my god's sexual capabilities.
Oh, me too, voice number one adds, and I stand with my jaw on the floor, waiting for voice number three to pipe up and make it a clean sweep. Well, I don't know about you two,
but he was too good to give up trying.
Voice number two totally finishes me off.
I can't listen to this shit. I flush the chain, silencing all three, and make sure my dress isn't tucked into my bodice before I swing the door open and walk casually out of the cubicle. I smile politely at the three women, all of with some sort of makeup suspended in front of their faces, staring completely flummoxed at me as I make my way to a mirror at the end of the bathroom. I calmly wash my hands and dry them before topping up my gloss, all in silence and under the wary eyes of the three brazen hussies at the other end of the ladies. I waltz past and leave the bathroom without a word, my dignity still firmly intact. My heart is jumping, and my legs are slightly shaky, but I make it to the entrance hall still standing. That was horrific. Hearing those women talk about Jesse like that has me more upset than mad. He really has put it about. Everywhere, with a lot of women. I think I need a cigarette, too. I know I audibly groan when Sarah steps out from the doorway that usually serves the restaurant. She's been waiting for this moment all night, and after what I've just endured, I'm feeling even less tolerant of her than usual. I'm facing the fourth woman in as many minutes, no, probably seconds, who Jesse has fucked. My stomach is turning. I feel sick and in no mood for Sarah and her viper gob. "Sarah, you've done an amazing job tonight," I say courteously. I'll get in first with the pleasantries, so there is no mistaking my attempt to keep things civil, even though it is taking every ounce of strength I have. She folds an arm under her chest, boosting it even further while holding her slow gin in front of her mouth. Her body language screams superiority. "Did you collect your gift bag from the table?" she asks on a smile. It throws me. I thought we were past faking pleasantries when Jesse isn't around. "No, I didn't," I answer warily. After seeing Kate's face, I really didn't want it. She broadens her smile. "Oh, that's a shame. There was something in there that may have been of use to you." "Like what?" I can't help the curiosity in my voice. "What's her game?" "The vibrator. I noticed yours was left in a million pieces on Jesse's bedroom floor." "Pardon?" I blurt on a laugh. She smiles slyly, and I dread the words I know she's about to say. "Yes, when I rescued him on Wednesday morning after you left him handcuffed to his bed." She shakes her head. "Not a wise move." My stomach falls into my heels as I watch her weighing up my reaction to her information overload. Jesse called Sarah. When he was bollock naked, handcuffed to the bed, and with a vibrator next to him, he chose Sarah to come and release him? I thought John freed him. Why did I think that? I can't even reflect that far back. At the moment, I'm just looking at the nasty creature standing in front of me, smugly delighting in my misery. I'm going to kill him. But first, I'm going to wipe that sly smile off of her Botox-pumped face. "Have you ever heard of tit tape, Sarah?" I ask coolly. Her face drops, as do her eyes to her chest. I start walking forward. Oh, she is so getting trampled. "Excuse me?" she laughs. "Tit tape. It's widely known to keep breasts secure, or..." I shake my head. "Of course, it's your intention to assault people's eyes with your overinflated chest." I stop in front of her. "Less is more, Sarah. Have you ever heard that saying? You would do well to remember it, especially at your age." "Ava?" "No." I turn and find Jesse standing with his frown line perfectly in place. Good, because he should be really concerned. And then I hear Sarah's heels disappear off into the restaurant. Yes, she's dropped her bombshell and has now fucked off to avoid being hit by the shrapnel.
What's going on?
He asks, his handsome face full of confusion and concern. I don't even know what to say. I glance around the entrance hall of the manor and see many members making their way upstairs. It must be past 10:30.
Ava?
I return my eyes to Jesse as he starts walking toward me, but I step back, and he stops in his tracks. I'm leaving. My tone is completely resolute. I can't stay here and listen to women boast about their sexual encounters with Jesse, and listen to them pass judgment on why I'm with him. Neither am I watching as he disappears with another woman with no explanation, and I'm certainly not setting myself up for humiliation by Sarah. I turn and walk with purpose to the huge double doors that will take me out of this hellhole, my heart hammering and tears of frustration brimming.
Ava!
I hear him yell, and then the telltale sign of his thumping footsteps coming after me. I have no idea what I plan on doing when I get outside. I know he will catch me, and I know he won't let me leave. I'll steal a car. I don't care that I'm way over the limit. I can't subject myself to this torture anymore. It's rotting my reasonableness, turning me into a jealous, resentful monster. I shouldn't have come here.
Ava, get your fucking ass here!
I make it to the steps and bump into Kate.
Where have you been?
She asks shortly, her eyes widening when she obviously catches sight of Jesse in pursuit of me. I'm going, I blurt, gathering my dress up, ready to take the steps. She watches me hastily pass her with a what-the-hell look coated all over her pale face. I fly down the steps stupidly fast and collide with his solid suit-covered chest. That fucking chest! I'm hoofed up and slung over his shoulder with no effort at all.
You're not fucking going anywhere, lady,
he growls, and starts back up the steps to the manor. I flick my hair out of my face and push my hands into his lower back to try and break free.
Let go of me!
I yell frantically as I wriggle, but he has a tight hold, and I know he would die before letting me go.
Jesse!
Kate watches with an open mouth as we pass her, before throwing her cigarette butt on the ground and following us in.
What's going on?
He's an asshole. That's what is going on,
I yell, attracting the attention of all the valet staff, who halt all duties and quietly observe me being jostled back into the manor.
Jesse, put me down!
No,
he continues through the entrance hall and toward the summer room.
It's fine, Kate. I just need a little chat with Ava,
he says calmly, increasing his grip on me as I continue to battle his hold. Looking up, I see Kate stop at the bar entrance and shrug at me. I want to scream at her, but I know she'll be of little use in trying to pry Jesse off me. I'm carried through the summer room, where all of the tables have been cleared and a dance floor set up, and the band stops their sound check to watch as Jesse strides through with me draped across his shoulder. I crane my neck around and spot John coming from the direction of Jesse's office, and he laughs as he shakes his head. It's not bloody funny. We pass him in the corridor, but he says nothing. He just moves to let us by before carrying on his way, like this is an everyday normal occurrence. I suppose it is. Jesse kicks his office door shut and dumps me on my feet, his face contorted with rage, which only boosts my own fury. He points his finger in my face.
Don't you ever walk away from me,
he roars. I flinch. He throws his arms up in frustration and walks over to the drinks cabinet as I make for the door again. Will he have a drink if I leave? At the moment, I'm too mad to care. I grab the handle of the door, but make no further progress. I'm grabbed and yanked back before he places me on my feet again and practically kicks a cabinet until it blocks the exit.
What the fuck are you playing at?
He grasps my shoulders and shakes me ever so slightly.
What's going on?
I regain possession of my body and walk away from him. He growls but leaves me. It's not like I can go anywhere now. I swing around and throw him the filthiest look I can muster.
I can't believe you trample all over any man who so much as looks at me, yet you think it's perfectly okay for you to have another woman in your bedroom while you're lying naked on the bed.
My voice is getting higher. I'm so mad.
I thought John freed you!
His face drops slightly as he takes on board what I have just screeched at him.
Well, he didn't, he yells. He was at the manor. Sam was unobtainable, and Sarah was nearby. What did you want me to do?
I gape at him.
How can he be mad with me?
Well, I wouldn't want you calling another woman. Well, you shouldn't have left me handcuffed to our fucking bed.
It's your bed,
I'm poking.
His eyes widen. Ours.
Yours.
He throws his head back and curses at the ceiling.
I don't care. He is not turning this around on me.
And while we're at it, I've just had the pleasure of listening to three women compare notes on your sexual abilities.
That I really enjoyed. And who the hell was that woman?
I try and regain a bit of composure. I'm struggling. The constant thoughts and mental images of Jesse entertaining another woman are poisoning my mind. It's ridiculous. He's 37 years old. He walks toward me.
You know I have a history, Ava, he says impatiently.
Yes, but have you fucked every female member of the manor?
Watch your fucking mouth.
No.
I walk over to the drinks cabinet and grab the first bottle of alcohol I can lay my hands on, which happens to be vodka, and pour some into a tumbler. My hands are shaking as I lift the glass and tip the neat contents down my throat. It's only now I wonder why he keeps alcohol in his office if he wants to avoid drinking it. My throat burns, and I shudder as I slam the glass down on the polished wooden counter. I'm not stupid enough to pour another. I stand with my hands braced on the cabinet, staring at the wall. He's silent. My throat is sore and gravelly, and I feel completely out of control, consumed by jealousy and hatred.
How would you feel if another man laid his eyes all over my naked body while I was handcuffed to a bed?
The heavy breath that travels the short distance between us and warms my back tells me my answer.
Murderous, he snarls.
How would you feel listening to someone voice their opinions on my bedroom manner, saying they weren't going to give up trying to get me in bed?
Don't.
I turn to find him watching me closely, his jaw ticking wildly.
My work here is done,
I quip, and make my way to the door. That sideboard looks heavy, but I don't get the opportunity to try and move it. Jesse steps in my way, halting my progress. I take a calming breath and look up at him.
You should know I'm not leaving, but only because I can't. I'm going out there and I'm going to have a drink, and tomorrow night I'm going out with Kate, and you are not going to stop me.
We'll see about that, he fires confidently.
Yes, we will.
He starts chewing his lip, his eyes burning into mine.
I can't change my past, Ava.
I know, and it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to forget about it either. Will you move the cabinet, please?
I love you.
Move the cabinet, please.
We need to make friends.
His face is deadpan, while my eyes have just widened.
No!
He takes a step forward, and I take one back.
I'll trample, Ava,
he warns calmly. I take another step back, watching as he regards me carefully.
Are you going to deny me?
He arches a cautionary eyebrow, and I carry on stepping back until I'm pushed up against the drinks cabinet. If he gets his hands on me, I'm completely done for. And I want to stay mad. I need to stay mad. He reaches me and places his hands over mine. My face is level with his neck and jaw, and I try to block off my sense of smell. I fail miserably. "Tomorrow I'm going back to Kate's," I say bravely. I need time to try and sort out my unreasonable jealous frame of mind. It would seem that Jesse Ward has brought out some rather nasty qualities in me, too.
"That's never going to happen, Ava. But just you saying it makes me really fucking mad."
"I am," I retort. I'm being stupidly daring, but I need him to know how much this is bothering me. He bends, so he's at my eye level.
"Crazy mad, Ava," he warns softly. "Look at me," he breathes in my face.
I whimper slightly. "No."
"I said look at me."
I shake my head faintly, and he heaves a sigh.
"3.
My eyes instinctively fly up to his, but not because he started the countdown and I don't want him to reach 0. It's because I'm shocked. I've unwittingly complied with his command, and I'm now staring into dark green pools of lust.
"Kiss me," he demands.
I purse my lips and shake my head, attempting to pull my arms free.
"3.
He begins again and I freeze, my mouth dropping open in shock. He brushes his lips gently over mine.
2.
This isn't fair. He could kiss me, but I know he won't. He wants me to submit, and I'm desperately trying to resist, even though my treacherous body is screaming for him.
1.
His lips meet mine again. I snap my head away and wriggle under his hold, desperately fighting him off. "No, you're not distracting me, Jesse." He shouts a frustrated yell, releases his grip, and my hands fly up to his chest to push him away. We battle, my flailing hands beating him away from me as he tries to grab at my wrists.
"Ava,"
he yells, securing me and spinning me around. I don't know why I'm doing this. I could never win, even though he's obviously handling me with care.
"Fucking stop it, you crazy woman!"
I ignore him, rage and adrenaline spiking my stamina to continue fighting him off.
"For fuck's sake!"
he shouts, taking me down to the floor and securing me under his body.
"Pack it in!"
I heave under him, every muscle aching, my hammering heart jumping from my chest. I open my eyes, finding a perplexed look on his face. He doesn't know what to do with me. I'm losing complete control. We stare at each other, both of us panting from the exertion of our physical battle, and then we both move forward fast, our mouths crashing together, our tongues dueling urgently. It's a tally for Jesse. He moans, releasing his grip of my wrists and fisting my hair in his hands as he tackles my mouth with as much force as I'm taking his. This is a possessive kiss. I'm reinforcing my claim on him, trying to make him see how strongly I feel about him, how the thought of other women and Jesse makes me just as crazy mad as him. His hand finds my breast and grabs me hard through the material of my dress, kneading and squeezing as he groans. My tongue aches, my lips are becoming sore, but neither one of us is letting up. We're both trying to make a point here. My hands move from his biceps to his head, and I yank his hair before applying pressure, pushing him into me. I'm fizzing all over, burning up completely as I writhe on the floor beneath him, making a damn successful point of ownership. And then he rolls us over, and my lips leave his, drifting down his suit-covered torso until I reach the zipper of his trousers. I yank it down, and make quick work of releasing him, his cock slipping free, my hand wrapping around his shaft without delay. In a complete frenzied mess, my mouth coats him, and I take him all of the way, no soft caressing, no light licks or teasing strokes. I attack him, frantic and desperate.
"Fuck!"
he barks, as I feel him hit the back of my throat.
"Fuck, fuck, fuck!"
I don't gag or heave. I thrust him into my mouth repeatedly, tirelessly, squeezing his base and reaching between his thighs to grasp his heavy sacks. Hard.
"Jesus!"
His hips fly up.
"Ava!"
His hands find my head and yank at my hair. I don't know if he's begging me or scolding me. I concentrate on reinforcing my desperation for him, working him fast and harshly, his flesh feeling silky on the insides of my mouth, the friction from the speed of my strokes heating us both.
"Keep me in your mouth, Ava,"
he orders, his hips meeting my every advance. My cheeks are aching, but I power on. And then I recognize the sign of him expanding in my mouth, his breathing becoming disjointed, and his fists tightening in my hair. I moan around him, increasing my iron grip on his balls and moving my other hand under his shirt. I grab his nipple, squeezing hard. He bellows, his groin shoots up, and he pushes my head down onto him, his tip pushing against the back of my throat. He comes. I swallow. We both moan.
"Fucking hell, woman,"
he pants, withdrawing from my mouth and pulling me up his body.
"Fucking, fucking hell."
He takes my lips again, sweeping his tongue through my mouth, sharing his salty essence.
"I take it that means you're sorry,"
he puffs between firm lashes of his tongue. I have unwittingly just given him an apology fuck. Am I sorry? For being a complete unreasonable possessive fool, just like him? No, I'm not, I affirm. I'm really not. Our tongues keep up together, both of our groans and shifting hands working all over each other's bodies. I reach back down and wrap my hand around his semi-erect length, relentlessly working him while we both tackle each other's mouths hard, aggressively. I'm not prepared to stop. He pulls away, panting, his chest heaving, but I don't give up. I push my abused lips back to his, plunging my tongue in, continuing with my frantic handling of his cock.
"Ava, stop!"
He grabs my hand from his groin and turns his face to break our lip contact. I don't give up even now. I fight him, urgently smothering him with my mouth. He's never refused me before.
"Ava, please!"
He loses his patience and pushes me over onto my back, pinning me under his body. I feel tears stabbing at my eyes. I'm more desperate than any of those women. I'm not dealing with this well at all. A sob slips through my lips, and I turn away from him, completely ashamed.
"Baby, don't,"
he pleads softly, pulling my face back to his and brushing my wild hair from my face. He gazes down at me, almost in sympathy.
"I understand,"
he whispers, wiping his thumb under my eye.
"Don't cry."
He skims my lips with his.
"It's always just you."
I blink back my tears.
"I'm not coping with this."
I reach up to touch his face.
"I feel violent,"
I admit. I can't believe I just openly volunteered that information, and I'm stunned I really do feel like that.
"Mine,"
I say quietly. He nods. He gets it.
"Always just yours."
He pulls my palm to his lips and kisses it firmly.
Please. Ignore them. They're shocked, that's all. Their noses have been put firmly out of joint by a young, dark-eyed, breathtaking beauty. My beauty.
You're my beauty,
I affirm harshly. All of me, Ava. Every single piece. Shifting his body, he rests himself all over me, completely coating me. He grasps my face in his palms, his green eyes staring down at me. Ava, you own me. He places his lips on mine.
Do you understand me?
I nod in his hold, feeling weak and needy.
Good girl, he whispers. You are mine and I am yours.
I nod again for fear of wailing if I open my mouth. I didn't think I could love him more. He runs his palms over my cheeks, and his eyes scan every inch of my face.
I know this is hard for you, but believe me, I don't see them, only you.
I love you. I just about managed to get the words out.
I know you do, and I you.
He sits up and secures himself before helping me up.
We'll make friends properly later. I don't want to trample your dress.
He smiles a little and spins me around.
It looks like it needs a bit of patience, and we all know how little of that I have when it comes to you.
He turns me back and rubs his nose over mine.
Better?
Yes.
Good. Let's go.
He takes my hand and leads me to the door, dropping it briefly to shift the sideboard back, before reclaiming it and leading me back to the party. He understands. Chapter 22. The band has started, and people have filtered into the summer room. Motown? I ask a little surprised, as I'm pulled through the few tables left set up.
They're a great band. You want to dance?
He glances down at me with a half-smile, and I'm reminded that my man has some serious moves. Later. I'm conscious that Kate is probably wondering what has happened and where I am. He nods and takes me through to the bar. My stool is free, and I'm lifted onto it. Kate, Drew, and Sam are all holding position at the bar, and all seem to be lit up, the alcohol flowing well.
Where have you been? Kate inquires, flicking a cautious glare at Jesse.
In Jesse's office, discussing a certain female who he called to free him after I left him handcuffed to the bed. I blurt it all out quietly while I keep my eye on Jesse to ensure he's not listening. He's too busy ordering drinks with Mario.
You left him there?
She's trying not to laugh. I didn't mention that before.
He was really mad.
Her lips purse.
And he called Sarah to free him.
Yes, I grate.
And he slept with her.
Oh. Kate's eyes widen.
Why would he call her?
She comes in closer, wedging herself between me and Jesse, so she's standing in front of me.
He couldn't get hold of anyone else. John was here, and Sam was otherwise engaged.
What day was this again?
Wednesday.
I raise my eyebrows and watch as she mentally casts her mind back to Wednesday morning. The penny obviously drops because a guilty look washes over her face. I won't even ask why Sam couldn't get to Jesse.
Sarah took great delight in advising me. That and the pleasurable experience of listening to three women compare notes on Jesse's bedroom skills sent me over the edge, I grumble.
Oh dear, Kate gives me a sympathetic face.
History, Ava.
I know. I shake my head disgustedly.
Kate, I've got so much to tell you. Can we go out tomorrow night? I need to let off some steam.
She nods, and then lets out a small yelp, a
as she's lifted from her feet and placed to the side by Jesse, giving him access to me. She slaps him on the shoulder playfully and giggles.
Drink.
He thrusts a glass of water under my nose, and I take it without complaint, watching him smile as I down it and hand him the empty glass. He nods in surprised approval, then replaces the empty with a glass of Mario's most marvelous stuff.
See how much easier things are when you do as you're told.
I narrow playful eyes on him and shake my head at his impertinence.
Yes, they are, but his demands are not always as simple as drinking a glass of water.
He turns away to catch up with Drew and Sam, but keeps a firm hand on my knee.
Oh, look, Kate whispers.
I follow her gaze and see Sarah with a group of men laughing, stroking, touching, and generally feeling up every single one of them at every opportunity. Her beady eyes land on me, and she stares with a smug, satisfied look on her face until I feel Jessie's lips on my cheek. I leave her seething in the knowledge that her little plan hasn't worked, and turn my attention to Jesse. He winks at me, and standing me up, he collects my arms and drapes them over his shoulders before sweeping his hands around my back and pulling me close, his forehead resting on mine. It's a gesture of reassurance. I'm grateful.
You okay?
I smile, pulling back to get an eyeful of his beautiful face. Perfect.
Good.
We both jump at a flash of light and turn to see Kate with a camera pointing at us. Jesse grabs me and suspends me in his arms, my head flying back on a laugh as I register the continuous clicks and flashes of the camera. His mouth rests on my throat.
Smile for me, baby.
I pull my head back up and find his green eyes shimmering with contentment, with happiness.
I make him happy.
I make him determined to live.
I make him want to leave his lifestyle behind.
I smile, lacing my fingers through his hair and pulling his lips down to mine.
Okay, Kate shouts. That's enough.
Jesse has me, taking what he wants with no regard for our audience or concern of our location, before I'm returned to a standing position and placed back on the stool. My drink is handed to me, and he returns to the mail conversation, like he hasn't just silenced the room with his out-of-character display of affection. I glance across the bar, finding Sarah spitting nails.
She really doesn't like me, Kate.
Oh, fuck her, Kate spits nastily. Do you care? No, I don't. But I'm pissed that I have no choice but to suck up the fact that Jesse will be coming here daily, and she'll be here.
Would he sack her if I asked him to?
Kate disappears from in front of me when Sam makes a grab for her and hauls her out of the bar.
Ava, dance! She shouts as she vanishes from view.
I'm distracted when a man approaches Jesse with his hand outstretched. I recognize him. Jesse takes it, shaking it mildly as he shifts and flicks his eyes to me. They chat briefly, and the guy tips his drink in my direction, prompting Jesse to glance toward me and step forward with him. He's probably mid-40s and looks a little tipsy.
Ava, this is Chris.
Jesse's tone suggests he would rather not be introducing me to Chris.
He was the estate agent of Luso.
Of course. I knew I recognized him. He smiles a slimy smile, and I immediately dislike him.
Hi!
I put my hand out reluctantly, and he takes it. His palm is sweaty.
It's nice to meet you.
I fake a sincere smile, and notice Jesse watching my coiled fingers in my hair on a fond smile.
It's an absolute pleasure, he drawls.
I flick nervous eyes to Jesse when Chris moves in closer, keeping a firm hold of my hand.
Oh, I love this dress.
He runs his eyes down my front, prompting me to lean back slightly. This is one brave man. Either that, or extremely stupid.
Jesse is at his side in a nanosecond, jaw muscles going into overdrive. He's physically twitching, and Chris is soon removed from my personal space by a short, sharp yank of his shoulder. He stands back where Jesse has put him, and watches as Jesse moves in, picking me up and taking my seat before resting me back down on his thighs.
Chris, you'll do well to keep your hands and your eyes to yourself. Do that, and I might not break your fucking legs, understand?
Jesse says it so calmly, but there is no denying the cutting edge to his tone. I watch as Chris backs off with a justifiably worried look on his face.
Jesse, I apologize. I assumed she was fair game.
Excuse me? I cough. I feel Jesse tense beneath me, and in a panic, I place my hand on his leg and squeeze slightly.
The heat is pouring from him, and his heart is stabbing my back. I would love to set him on this cheeky swine, but I also want to see the night through without having to put an ice pack on Jesse's abused fist.
Chris here will be slayed if I don't hold him back. He lifts from the stool slightly and pulls me to his chest.
I suggest you fuck off now, he snarls maliciously.
I push back against him and throw Chris a fuck off if you know what's good for you look. He backs away vigilantly, and I doubt very much that he'll be back any time soon. I crane my head around and give Jesse an inquiring look.
Murderous?
I get my very own scowl, followed by a smothered face.
Deadly.
Are all the women fair game? This is news. He shrugs.
You don't join the manor if you aren't sexually adventurous.
Oh, lovely. I look around the bar, which has thinned out since the band started and the upstairs opened. The people I'm sharing company with look like any other people, but they are all here for one reason, and that has nothing to do with the posh sports facilities that the manor boasts. One thing is certain, judging by all the prestigious cars that are often parked outside, they are all very rich people.
How much is the membership?
My curiosity is getting the better of me. He works his face right into my neck.
Why? Do you want to join?
I might. He bites my neck.
Sarcasm doesn't suit you, lady.
He pulls me up further into his lap.
45.
A month?
That's not bad. He laughs.
No. Grand a year.
Shit!
He clamps his teeth on my ear and then rolls his hips into my bum.
Mouth.
I moan a little at his evident hard state.
45,000 a year is ridiculous money. These people must all be stupid or desperate.
But as I look around, there are no particularly ugly men and women. They all look like they could get some if they wanted to.
Hey, does Kate pay that?
I know she's not short of a few quid, but she is very shrewd with her cash.
What do you think? He asks on a little laugh.
I don't know. Did Jesse waive the membership fee because she's my friend?
Would he do that?
Sam, I say in realization. Sam paid.
At mate's rates, of course.
He applies mate's rates for membership to his sex haven? I'm on another planet at the moment. This sort of thing is way past my comprehension, and here I am, dining and drinking with these people and dating the owner.
I wish you had refused, I grumble. Kate might be laid back, but I can't help thinking that she is coasting toward complete disaster.
Ava, what Sam and Kate do is their business.
I scowl to myself.
How many members are there?
He brings his palm up to my forehead
and applies a little pressure until the back of my head rests on his shoulder.
Someone is very nosy, considering she hates the place.
He kisses my cheek. I'm not nosy, I shrug casually, but I am interested. It's made him a very rich man, even if it's down to Uncle Carmichael. He laughs lightly.
At the last count, I think Sarah said 1,500-ish, but they're not all active at the moment. Some we don't see from 1 month to the next. Some of them meet people and start a relationship, and others take a break from the whole scene.
I do a quick mental calculation in my head and come up with a whole lot of millions. Is the restaurant and bar included?
No, he says, shocked. I don't know why.
For £45,000 a year, I would want more than an open invitation to have sex with anyone and everyone.
The bar and restaurant are a separate entity. Some members eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner here 4 or 5 times a week. I wouldn't be making much money if I included all meals and drinks in with their memberships. They have accounts they settle on a monthly basis. Turn around. I need to see you.
He nudges me to get up and positions me between his thighs. He brushes my hair over my shoulder and straightens my diamond before taking my hands in his.
Would you like to see upstairs?
He asks, and then commences chomping his lip. I withdraw slightly. I know he doesn't mean the sweets. I've seen them. Or I've seen one of them.
He means the communal room. Do I want to see it? Fucking hell.
I bloody well do. I don't know if it's Mario's most marvelous giving me a bit of spunk, or if it's just pure curiosity, but I really want to be in the know.
Okay. I utter the word quietly, before I talk my way out of it, and he nods ever so slightly, almost thoughtfully.
He stands, and I let him lead me into the entrance hall and to the bottom of the stairs. I gaze up to the massive gallery landing, hearing the comings and goings of people in and out of rooms. Then I let Jesse slowly tug me up the stairs. I know he's taking it leisurely to give me time to retract my decision, and I want to tell him to hurry up before I do. We reach the top and start circling the landing until we arrive at the stained glass window. There are people milling around everywhere, all fully dressed, some outside rooms, some just chatting. It's bizarre.
We need to get cracking on those next week, Jesse says, pointing through the archway to the extension. I can see now why he needs to. Ready?
I know he's watching me as I stare up at the double doors that lead into the communal room, and my eyes are pulled to his like the magnets they absolutely are. His deep greens pierce me. He knows everything about this place makes me immensely uncomfortable, but he doesn't seem offended. It's like he almost approves of my reaction and aversion. He moves closer, preserving the eye contact, until we're standing chest to chest.
You're curious.
Yes, I confess.
You don't have to be so apprehensive. I'll be with you, guiding you through. If you want to leave, say the word, and you're out of there.
His attempt at reassuring me is weirdly working. He squeezes my hand, and I'm calmer, more comfortable, and at ease, as he gives me a gentle tug toward the stairs. I kick my feet into gear and let him lead me up, my heart jumping a little harder as we get closer.
There will be various acts in progression. Some will be mild, some not so much. It's important for you to remember that everything transpiring is because all parties have agreed. Just being in this room doesn't necessarily show your desire to participate in any of these acts.
He looks down and grins.
Not that you ever will. I'm making it my mission objective to ensure that every man knows what the consequences will be if they approach you. He returns his eyes forward. I might send a memo out. A small laugh escapes my mouth. He probably would as well. He flicks me mischievous eyes and a soft smile, and my love for him intensifies further. I let him lead me through the open, dark wood double doors and into the communal room. Chapter 23. As the full room comes into view, I concentrate on maintaining my steady breathing. It's hard. The overwhelming background music is the absolute essence of sex and only increases my heartbeat further. The vast room is as beautiful as I remember it, with all of the exposed beams prominent and the gold chandeliers dimly lit. The Austrian blinds are all drawn at the Georgian sash windows, and that, mixed with the dusky light from the chandeliers, makes the mood sensual and erotic, but not sleazy.